Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, Bob. Nice to meet you, and thanks for accepting my invitation to this podcast.
My absolute pleasure.
How are you?
Well, you know, things are pretty well, like anything else. Business is business, so there were times it's better than others, but I think what we need to do is follow our plan and continue to work at doing what we need to, and things tend to work out.
Bob, what does it mean to be a go-giver? Actually, what's a go-giver?
Well, a go-giver is simply someone who has learned, or perhaps already intuitively knew, that your focus from getting to giving. And when we say giving in this context, we simply mean constantly and consistently providing immense value to others. Understanding that doing this is not only a pleasant way of conducting business, it's actually the most financially profitable way as well.
As far as I remember, there are five laws you and John shared in the book. Give us a short review of the five laws. What are the five laws that will bring you personal effectiveness and professional success?
The laws themselves are the laws of value, compensation, influence, authenticity, and receptivity. The first one, the law of value, says your true worth is determined by how much more you give in value than you take in payment. This can be confusing to someone at first without context, because it sounds like you're not making a profit, right? Give more in value than you take in payment. But that's not what it is at all. We need to understand the difference between price and value. So price is what you charge. Price is a dollar amount. It's a dollar figure. It's fine. Yes. Value, on the other hand, is the relative worth or desirability of a thing, of something, to the end user or beholder. In other words, what is it about this thing, this product, service, concept, idea, what have you, that brings so much worth or value to another human being that they will willingly exchange their money for it and be glad they did, because of the results, while you make a very, very healthy profit. So it's sort of like in the story we use the restaurant owner, Ernesto, who owned Iafrate's Italian Cafe. And, you know, he charged a really good price for the meal, but you came away feeling so great. Not only was the food fantastic, the presentation great, the ambience was wonderful, the wait staff were just absolutely terrific when you were greeted, you were made to feel so special. So when we provide a product or service to someone and an experience that is much greater to them than what they paid for it, well, they feel fantastic. And of course, we should always make a healthy profit. Now,
Bob, just a question here. So by value, you mean the value perceived by the other part, the customer, for example. It's not what I think, it's what the person who receives thinks about.
Well, that's a great point. It's so important to remember that value is always in the eyes of the beholder. So it's not what we think is of value to someone, but what we think they should think is of value.
Yeah.
It's what they believe is of value. It's our job to communicate that, but we do that not by telling, but by asking questions and listening and being able to understand what it is that they need, that they want, that they desire.
Great. So this was the first law, the law of value.
The second law, the law of compensation, says your income is determined by how many people you serve and how well you serve them. So where law number one says to give more value than you take in payment, law number two tells us that the more people whose lives you touch with the exceptional value you provide, the more money with which you'll be rewarded. Law number three, the law of influence, says your influence is determined by how abundantly you place other people's interests first. Again, this can sound counterintuitive, but when you think about it, it really makes a lot of sense. Because remember, and I say this when I speak at a lot of sales conferences, one of the first things I'll say is nobody's going to buy from you because you have a quota to meet, right? Mm-hmm. Not going to buy from you because you need the money, because you want the sale, or even because you're a really nice person. They're going to buy from you because they believe they'll be better off by doing so than by not doing so. And that's really the only reason why anyone should buy from any of us. So the great salesperson, influencer, leader, what have you, understand it's always about finding ways to benefit the other person. But, you know, as I say this, I want to make sure that I clarify and that I qualify this, because it could be easily misunderstood. When we say place the other person's interests first, we certainly don't mean you should be anyone's doormat, or, you know, that you should be a martyr, or that you should be self-sacrificial in any way. Absolutely not at all. It's simply understanding, as Joe, the protege in the story, learned from several of the mentors, the golden rule of business is that all things being equal, people will do business with and refer business to those people they know, like, and trust. And, yes, you know, there's no faster, more powerful, or more effective way to elicit those feelings toward us from others than by genuinely and authentically moving from what we call an I focus or a me focus to an other focus. Looking to, as Sam, one of the mentors in the story, advised Joe, mm-hmm. make your win all about the other person's win. So placing that other person's interest first is a really good, profitable way to do business.
And this is about understanding, trying to understand other people and their real needs.
Mm-hmm. We've got that. Without it, we just, you know, we can't read minds. So, and what we think is of importance, what we think is of value, isn't necessarily what they do. So it really is,
yes,
being able to, you know, to understand another human being and to ask, yeah, appropriate questions and to listen. Mm-hmm. So now we're on to law number four, the law of authenticity. And this one says that the most valuable gift you have to offer is yourself. And in the story, Deborah, one of the mentors, shared a very important lesson she learned, and that is that all the skills in the world, the sales skills, technical skills, people skills, as important as they are, and they are all very, very important, they're also all for naught if you don't come at it from your true, authentic core.
Yes.
When you do show up as yourself, right, day after day, week after week, month after month, well, people feel comfortable with you. They feel safe, mm-hmm. with you. They feel good about you. They begin to know you, like you, love you, trust you. They're much more likely to want to be in relationship with you, to buy from you, to tell others about you. So it's really important to show up authentically, and part of that is understanding the value that we do bring to the table. So we need to understand our strengths. We need to understand those talents and the expertise and the experience that we bring to, you know, mm-hmm. to others. And then the final law, law five, is the law of receptivity. And this one says that the key to effective giving is to stay open to receiving. And this really means nothing more than understanding the fact that we breathe out, but we also have to breathe in. It's not one or the other. It's both. We breathe out carbon dioxide, but we also have to breathe in oxygen in order to not only survive, but in order to thrive. In the same way, we breathe out, which is giving, and we breathe in, which is receiving. And, you know, the world gives us lots of negative messages about money, about prosperity, about abundance, which is really too bad, but it does. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we're often hearing these very negative messages, and we hear them from the time we're born, really, through, you know, upbringing, environment, schooling, news media, television shows, movies, and, you know, we're always getting these impressions that those who make a lot of money did it by doing something bad to others, right? And of course, it's a big world. There are some who do that. But by and large, especially to the degree that you live in a free market-based economy where no one is forced to do business with anyone else, the only way you can consistently make a lot of money is by providing a lot of value to a lot of people. So, but unfortunately, it really gets into people's heads on an unconscious level, and that can really hurt when it comes to receptivity. Because, if I make a lot of money, doesn't that mean I'm a bad person, or I wasn't honest, or I did something wrong, or I took advantage of others? And again, that's not a conscious thing. That's very unconscious. And great people, great speakers and authors and teachers on prosperity like Randy Gage and David Newman and Ellen Rogan and others, you know, do a wonderful job of teaching that and helping us to kind of reframe those thoughts. But it's really important to understand and David Nagel's another great one, but, you know, it's important to understand that giving and receiving are not opposite concepts. It's not giver or a receiver. No, you're a giver and a receiver.
Yeah, and if I may add something, I remember when I read a book, basically you said more or less that giving cannot exist without receiving. Right. It's like a relationship between them both, because you can, if you refuse the connection between giving and receiving, you just refuse your connection with the world. And you are right, because society many times teaches us that it's good to give, to help the community, to contribute, but it may be in a way, bad to accept.
Right. And that's, something that we need to not listen to society, because that's not a positive message. It's not a good message. When we have earned the right to receive, and we earn the right to receive through what we give. And this is why John David Mann, my co-author, and I often say that money is an echo. Money is an echo of value. It's an echo of value. In other words, the key is that you focus on the giving of value to others. You focus on the giving. And when you do that, you really create a benevolent context for your success for receiving. But you've got to be willing to receive. You've got to be willing to allow this
be open.
Come to you. Be open to it, exactly, and receive it. And then that allows you to give more, allows you to receive more, and it builds a bigger, it builds a bigger pie of abundance for
another question about giving and receiving. Are there misconceptions about what being a go-giver is? I mean, the name itself, it implies to give and give and give and give. Can maybe other people take advantage of you this way? For example, how does a go-giver tell people, no, I don't want to do that?
Yeah, so let's look at that, because I think it's very, very important. You see a title, as you said, you see a title like the go-giver, and you immediately think, oh, it's just about just give yourself away or be taken advantage of. And let me assure people that there's nothing about being a go-giver that is congruent with allowing yourself to be taken advantage of. If you're finding yourself being taken advantage of giving a lot to others and being taken advantage of, you're not being taken advantage of because you're giving to others. You're being taken advantage of because you're doing things in a certain way that creates the environment for you to be taken advantage of. So in other words, one has nothing to do with the other. Remember, being a go-giver is simply understanding the principle that when you focus on providing value to others, that's a profitable way of business, right? But there's nothing about that says you should be or need to be taken advantage of.
In your book, you said something like, what you focus your attention, this is what you receive, more or less. Said it's like if you think that people will take advantage and you are focusing your attention only on the people that take advantage of you, this is what you will actually receive and find in the world. But if you try to focus on people that contribute, like an exchange of value, give and receive in the same time, this is what sooner or later you will find.
Exactly. And, you know, and that doesn't mean that we're naive about it. If we come across someone who is proving themselves to be what we would call a go taker, right? Mm-hmm. Someone who is just wanting to take and take and no, well, of course, we don't do business with them. We avoid them to the degree that we can. And if we do need to do business with them, we make sure that we don't allow ourselves to be taken advantage of. But no, there's no reason to believe that by being a go-giver that means you should be or need to be taken.
Yes.
Absolutely not. Now, you asked another great question. How do you say no? And because you might think, well, a go-giver, yes, doesn't that mean you have to, you know, do everything for everybody and that you can't say no? Of course, it doesn't mean that. In fact, to the degree you conduct your business as a go-giver, you're going to find yourself getting more and more successful, which means you're going to be busier. And it means that people are going to want to ask you for things quite a bit. And sometimes it's very appropriate to say yes, and that's fine. But sometimes it's appropriate to say no. And sometimes you just might not want to do something, and there's no reason for you to. Remember, we're not talking about being self-sacrificial or a martyr. You only do things that are congruent with your values and that you choose to do. And so let's say, for example, someone wants you to serve on a committee, okay, and it's just not something you want to do for whatever reason it is. Now, we need to be able to say no. And as a go-giver, you're going to need to say no a lot more than you're going to say yes. Because, again, people are going to be asking you to do a lot of things. And none of us have enough time in the day to do everything for everyone. Now, there's people who will say, well, then just tell people no. Just say no. No is a complete sentence. I disagree with that. I think that's rude, right? I mean, imagine someone asking you to serve on a committee, and obviously they thought highly of you or they wouldn't have asked, and you just say no. Well, I think, you know, that's counterproductive, and that's going to close doors to future situations with that person. Mm-hmm. That's not congruent with your value system of treating people with kindness and respect. Now, some will say, well, you can get out of doing it by kind of telling a little lie, like, well, I would, but I'm too busy. Well, the challenge with that is, first of all, that you're not too busy. It's just that you don't want to do the thing that you're being asked to do. You don't have the time to do anything. We make the time to do those things we value doing. Mm-hmm. And so the challenge here is that if you say, I don't have time, and this person who's used to that answer, if they're able to persuasively explain why time is not an issue, now you're in big trouble, because you either have to explain really fibbing because you don't want to do it, or to save face, you've got to accept the assignment and you don't want to do that. So I'm going to say, instead of doing that, very simple. Here's how a go-giver says no when asked to do something. Again,
yes,
I believe you're being asked to serve on a committee. You certainly say, thank you so much. While it's not something I'd like to do, please know how honored I am to be asked. Boom. That's all you do. You were very polite. You were respectful. You let them know you were honored to be asked, but you did say no. What you didn't do is you didn't make an excuse. So you didn't give them anything to hold on to and overcome and so forth. So again, it's simply, thank you so much, or you could say, thank you so much for asking. While it's not something I'd like to do, or you could say, while it's not something I choose to take on, please know how.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Honored I am to be asked.
In a way, I guess it's like as an exchange of value, and maybe everything you do, you know, you mentioned the value in the beginning. You are exchanging value, you are giving and you are receiving. Sometimes you say no because you know that you will not be able to give and receive in the same time. It's always like an exchange of value you are doing with the world, with other people.
I think that's a wonderful, wonderful, healthy way to look at it, absolutely.
One line in the book is, it says more or less, does it make money is not a bad question. It's a great question, but it's just a bad first question. And I think a lot of people, especially young people, entrepreneurs, when they are in a startup, may not agree with that. They might even say it's making money is the only question when it comes to business. Otherwise, you could be just naive. So what do you mean by that?
Okay, yeah, that's a great question. And remember, we didn't say making money is a bad question. We did say, will it make money is a great question. We say it's not, it's a bad first question. Why do we say
yes?
That? Because,
yes.
And this is something you and I discussed a few minutes ago. No one's going to buy from you because you want them to, or because you need the money. So if you lead with, will this, let's say, product that I'm inventing, or this service that I'm inventing, or this business that I'm opening where I'm selling another product, what have you, if you start with, will it make money? You're putting what we call the cart before the horse instead of the horse before the cart, right? Because whether it makes money or not, what difference does it make if you don't have a market for it? First, ask the question, will it serve? Is there a market for it, either one now or one that I can even create? Is there a market? Is this something people will buy because they feel there's a need for it? Because otherwise, you know, if you ask first, will it make money, but you don't have something that's viable, all you have is a very expensive hobby. All right. But now you also have to ask the questions, if it will serve, if you feel there is a market for it or one that you can reasonably create. Now you've also got to ask, will it make money? Is it profitable? Because again, you could have a great market for it, but if it's not profitable, again, all you have is a hobby. So
yes,
you want to have a
business,
by all means, you've got to make money. But first, you've got to ask, will it serve?
Two other questions. First, it's about mentors and mentorship. Because, you know, your book, it's about finding mentors in a way. What's the best way to find a mentor? Perhaps most importantly, what should you not do when trying to find one?
That's a great question, because, you know, mentorship is important. When we can find a good mentor, wow, we can cut our learning curve by years.
Yes.
Yet I find a lot of people, when they approach someone they'd like to have for a mentor, they'll often just kind of come right out and ask, hey, will you be my mentor? And the challenge with that most of the time is because there's probably no relationship established. And you see this a lot, where someone will admire someone or maybe meet someone once, or, you know, what have you. And they'll say, will you be my mentor? It's sort of like saying to someone, hey, will you share 30 years of your experience and wisdom with me, even though you hardly even know me? And so most people know they're not going to take that time, make that kind of investment to do something like that with someone with whom they have no relationship. And a mentor-protege relationship is that. It's a relationship that develops over time. So I think to just come right out and ask someone to be your mentor comes across as a little bit entitled and maybe not respectful of the process and of that.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, you can ask anyone for a little bit of time. For example, to say to someone, you know, I'm wondering, and I realize you're very, very busy. So if this is not something you have time to do, or even something you would even want to do, I will totally understand. I'm wondering if I could possibly ask you one or two very specific questions. Now, when you do that, what have you really done? First, you've approached in a very humble, respectful way. You've let them know this is not something that you're entitled to. You understand they're very busy. They may not have the time or even the desire to do this. But now here's what you're doing, and this is so important. You're asking them if you could ask one or two very specific questions. So now what they're hearing is, this person's not going to waste my time. They're not wanting to just pick my brain, which is something we say a lot here in the States. I'm not sure if
Yeah, I know.
You know, they're not just looking to it right, but it's very specific. So now, wow, this person's serious. They have an agenda. You know, they know what they're, right? And so, so they'll usually, not everyone, but it doesn't have to be everyone, but usually they'll say, sure, you know, that would be fine. Mm-hmm. Now you want to make sure that you research them, and there's no reason now, no excuse not to do that with the internet. There's all sorts of information.
Yeah.
Make sure you don't ask a question that they've already answered in some article or in some interview or somewhere. But, you know, so ask these couple of great questions and let them know, and don't keep them very long, and let them know how much you appreciate it. You look forward to applying that information. Then I would say that very day, send them a handwritten personalized note, not an email and not a text, mm-hmm. handwritten personalized note. Just very short and sweet. Thank you so much once again for taking time out of your busy schedule. Your wisdom is priceless. I look forward to applying it right away. And I will keep in touch and let you know how things are progressing. Best regards, and then sign your name. Put it in a regular envelope, a stamp, send it out. You could also, a very, very nice touch is to find out what their favorite charity or cause is, which again is probably right mm-hmm. on somewhere. And then make a small, doesn't have to be anything big, just make a small donation in their name. They'll be notified that you did this. You're not doing it to kiss up, as we would say, or something like that. But just to, again, let them know you respect the process and that you're very grateful. And, you know, now you can, a couple weeks later, a few weeks later, what have you, you might follow up with another quick question, let them know how things are going, how helpful their advice was. And, you know, you keep the conversation going. And over time, if a mentor-protege relationship is supposed to develop, it will. If not, yes. It won't. And it might be someone else that you ask another question to, or you might have several people who, over the course of time, are mentors for a certain, or you might develop a very nice, you know, one-on-one mentor-protege relationship with someone. So don't be too attached to the results, but go about it the correct way.
First of all, you're asking to talk with them about one question, two questions. This is quite easy, because if you say, let's talk for a few hours, usually they receive hundreds of people with the same.
Right.
But one question, it's easy. I mean, just a few minutes maybe, and they can get away. And everything is about what you said. It's about building a relationship, not about getting something, or it's a process of building the relationship in time, like sending the note, keeping the connection with them and such stuff. It's more important, the relationship, than everything else. Mm-hmm. Why you don't need to be an entrepreneur to be entrepreneurial?
Well, because, you know, we think of the entrepreneur as being someone who went out on their own, owns their own company, maybe invested money, or, you know, their own along with others, and that's fine. That's a good way to see an entrepreneur. Yes. But even when, and of course, an entrepreneur, in order to be successful, is going to have to please their customers, right? Because again, people aren't for our reasons, but for their reasons. So if you're within an organization, if you're an employee within an organization, well, you may not be an entrepreneur, but you're still an intrapreneur. You need to be an entrepreneur within that other person's business. You still have to please your customers. But now your customers are who? They're your coworkers. They're your supervisor. They're the employer, or maybe the end users, what have you. But you still have to bring value to others. You still have to give more in value than you take in payment. Because remember, your employer isn't keeping you on and paying you a salary because you have a mortgage payment to meet. They're doing so because they believe it's of more value to have you on the team than not. It's worth paying you. And so, you know, that's really the essence. So you still need to be an entrepreneur, but you're doing it mm-hmm. within another person's organization. But to the degree that you can communicate immense value on an ongoing, consistent, daily basis, that's the degree that you make yourself invaluable and you create the opportunity to move up.
Bob, thanks for making time to have this interview. It was a pleasure to talk to you and to know you.
Well, thank you. It was really a pleasure to be on your show, and I appreciate the opportunity. It was great speaking.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details. Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With you.